The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So every once in a while, I'll get asked by parishioners how I come up with my homilies. Like, what's the process for coming up with those? And sometimes, it comes very easily. I'll read the gospel on a Monday, Tuesday, something just clicks. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I need to preach on. Something just inspired me. Good to go. Makes my week infinitely easier when that happens. More often than not, though, it kind of gets pushed back and back and back. Procrastination is kind of my usual strategy for dealing with homilies. And it gets to be Friday night, and I realize, oh no, I don't have anything. And sometimes, you know, that's when the greatest inspirations come. Every once in a while, though, I get to Friday night, and absolutely nothing happens. And that's what happened this last Friday. Got to Friday night, was going to bed, did my night prayer, and I remember asking God specifically, I was like, God, I've got nothing for this weekend. It'd be really nice if you could, like, come in on a dream or something this night, you know, and inspire me, or something tomorrow morning. So I asked for him to give me something for this weekend with this gospel passage about Christ teaching us to come to him who are labor and are burdened. The next morning, Saturday morning, I was very excited about it because we were going to go for a run in the morning. There are a couple guys from the parish I go running with on Saturday mornings. And running, for whatever reason, that exercise is when I do my best thinking. I don't know why, but when you're just out there, just kind of going, it clears my mind, and some of my best homilies have come after going for a run. So I was very excited for Saturday morning. I was like, all right, you know, this is when God's going to answer my prayer. Something's going to come to me. Now, usually, when we go for our runs, it's, you know, along the sidewalks, it's here in town, or we go to, like, Deming Park or some of these nicer parks in town. But yesterday, we decided we were going to change things up a little bit. And so we decided we were going to go to Dobbs Park on the east side of town. Now, if you've ever been to Dobbs Park, the trails are very, very narrow. They're not the best-kept trails in the world. We went at 6 in the morning. It was still kind of dark out. We had our headlamps on. There were some fallen trees, so there were these logs that we were jumping over, roots all over the place. All of us were tripping and falling, but it was an incredible run. I mean, it was awesome out there. I mean, it was like, you know, you're in the Matrix or something, you know, dodging these branches and jumping over these limbs and stuff. It was great. Loved it very much. Not the most conducive for thinking about homilies, though. I was more afraid of getting whacked in the face by a twig or a low-hanging branch. But here we are running along, you know, in Dobbs Park, and for whatever reason, I at one point, we were running for about 45 minutes, I reached down to my shorts pocket and realized my truck keys had fallen out. And I was like, I have no idea how long ago they fell out. I don't know where they fell out. So I told the guys that were running with, I was like, you know, guys, stop. We gotta. I lost my keys. Like, we've got to try to find these keys. And so we start looping around the lake, you know, retracing our steps on the path. But I mean, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. You know, I mean, it's this little black Toyota key, and it wasn't attached to any other keys. It was a solitaire just by itself, which is how I've run since I was in college. But all the jumping over these limbs and logs and stuff, somehow one of those, like a hurdle, it fell out of my pocket. So we're sitting there checking all the logs that I had jumped over, you know, seeing if it had fallen around there. And after about half an hour of searching, nothing. And the whole time I'm searching, I'm sitting there saying, you know, St. Anthony, come around. There's an object that must be found. St. Anthony, come around. There is an object that must be found. It must be found. I guess St. Anthony just didn't care, you know, that I had to get back into my truck for the weekend. And you have to realize, I had my cell phone, I had my wallet with all of my credit cards, debit cards, cash, everything that I need was in this truck. And I had no access to it. And so it's one of those feelings when you realize, you know, and your heart kind of like sinks in your chest and you just kind of realize how dire the situation is. So thankfully, one of the parishioners that was running with us, he said, well, let's drive you back to the rectory. Maybe the spare key is there. And I was like, that's an excellent idea. I don't think it is, but let's go and find out. You know, so we drove over to the rectory, and I scrounged around in the whole house, tipping, you know, boxes over, checking every nook and cranny that I could possibly put the spare key when I moved to Terre Haute. Couldn't find it. In fact, when I started thinking about it, I was like, I'm not even 100% sure if there was a spare key when I bought the truck. If there is one, it's at my parents' place, which is 2 hours away. So here I am, I don't know what to do. So we drive back to the truck, and this parishioner lent me his phone, you know, up here in town, the Toyota dealership. And I was like, you know, can you guys come out here and just mock me up a key? You know, I locked myself out, I lost my keys on the trail. Like, you know, could you just, you know, come out here and just do that for me real quick? And they're like, well, it's a 2012 Toyota Tacoma. That means it's got a chip in the key, which means that we can't just mock you one up. We'd have to have the truck towed to the dealership so that we could get you a new key and then reprogram your truck to recognize the chip in the key so you can start the ignition and actually drive the truck. I was like, great. How much is that going to cost? And they're like, well, it's about $40-$50 for the towing, $40 to $50 for the key, and then about $100 for the reprogramming. And you have to have the truck here by 11 o'clock this morning because we're booked solid the rest of the day. And if it's not here, if it's not in our parking lot by 11, we can't work on it till Monday. And I was like, I got to drive back and forth between my masses. I can't wait till Monday. You know, this is a big disaster, you know. And so finally I was like, well, maybe I can try to get a hold of my parents at home and see if the spare key actually exists and it's at my parents' place. So I'm calling home, no one's picking up. I'm leaving like 50 messages for them, you know, and I'm like, I know mom likes to sleep in on Saturday, but this is a little ridiculous. And then it dawned on me, my parents have already left to go to Michigan for vacation, so they're not even at home. And I don't have my cell phone, so I don't know anybody else's number. All of my siblings have changed their cell phone numbers over the years. I don't have any of theirs memorized. All I've got is my home number and nobody's there. So I'm like, this is a disaster. So thankfully, this parishioner was very, very kind and said, tell you what, I'm going to loan you my car and my cell phone for the day. And so you can drive back to your parents' place and see if the spare key is there. And so I'm like, okay, let's go for it. It'll save me $200. You know, it's a risk, but I'm willing to take it. So I get in the car and I'm driving back to my parents' place. And the whole time, you know, I'm trying to think, is there anybody that I remember their cell phone number, anybody that I can call in Greensburg that would be able to figure out if that spare key is there? So if it's not, I can get back to Terre Haute, get the towing company to get it to the dealership so they can mock up a key and I can get my truck going for the rest of the weekend. This is the plan. And out of the blue, I remembered from 10 years ago when I was in high school, before I had a cell phone and I had to remember people's numbers back then, my best friend from high school, Ben Luderbach, I remembered his number, 317-364-1798. Only number I remembered from way back then. 10 years ago, it was lodged in there somewhere. I didn't even know if it was his number anymore, but I was like, it's worth a try. So I took the cell phone that I had borrowed, driving this car I had borrowed, and called up Ben Luderbach. Well, he didn't answer. Called him again, doesn't answer. Realize I'm calling from a cell phone that he wouldn't recognize, so he's just hanging up on me. So then I text him while I'm driving, which I don't recommend. And I was like, Ben, this is Danny Badle. You have to call me. And so sure enough, he calls me right away. And I was like, Ben, you're my best friend. You know, I know we haven't talked in a year, but I need your help, you know. And I go to my parents' place, but do you have my brother's number so I can call him and inconvenience him? Because I have no problem inconveniencing my brother. And he's like, sure, you know. So here's Anthony's number. You know, he texts it to me. I call up Anthony, and he's in town. He's in Greensburg. And I'm like, Anthony, could you go to my parent's guitar place? He's there. And let me know as soon as possible, because I got a towing company that's waiting for me to get back in case I need to take it to the dealership. So he books it, drops everything, books it to our parents' place. I call him up again. He's inside the house. I'm like, okay, Anthony, give me the bad news. You know what? He's like, Danny, I found it. It's here on the key rack. I've got your spare key. Tell you what, I'll even drive and meet you in Shelbyville so you save about an hour on your trip, and you can get back to Terre Haute, you know, and get ready for your masses for the day. I was like, this is great. To Shelbyville, get the key. I get back to Terre Haute. I get my truck. Everything is golden. We're set. It all worked out fine. And it wasn't lost on me that the person that found the spare key's name was Anthony. Nor was it lost on me that the night before I did ask God to give me something to use in my homily this weekend. So you're welcome. But the hardest part about yesterday morning, as stressful as, and I don't know if you're this way, but I am, I hate asking for help. I hate inconveniencing people on my behalf. Part of the reason I have a truck is so that if I ever need to move something or haul something, I don't have to call somebody. I do it on my own, unless I lose the keys, of course. But yesterday, I had no choice. I was completely helpless on my own. And so I relied on a parishioner who loaned me a car, as well as my best friend and my brother, who all had to work together so that I could get into my truck for the weekend. And I imagine many of us are that way. Now, in today's gospel, Christ offers us his help. He says, "For all you who labor and are burdened, I will give you rest." And for years, when I heard this gospel passage, because this is the gospel passage we use with anointing of the sick. Every time I go to the hospital and I do an anointing, and they're there in their sick bed, and they are labored, they are burdened, and they need God's rest. And I go and I say this gospel, and I say those prayers, and I anoint them, and I give them the prayers. I think to myself, as I'm reading this gospel, it's great for them. They are burdened, they are labored, they need God's rest. But it's not for me. I'm doing okay on my own. If anything, when I pray to God, it's more like, God, give me strength so that I can do my ministry. God, give me patience so that I can be patient and do these good things. Very rarely do I realize I can't do anything without God's help. But the only way that comes to us is if we recognize how weak we really are. If we think we can do it on our own, if we have that independent streak in us that says, I can muscle up and do this, we're not going to find rest. If we think for a second that we can do this Christian thing on our own, we're going to be and bitter and angry and find ourselves worried and anxious and restless. One of my favorite masses to celebrate, because it's very authentic, it's a very genuine mass, is when I go and celebrate mass in the prison. Now that seems counterintuitive. You think going into that place where the bars clink shut and you're stuck with a bunch of inmates, some of which are there for life for unspeakable crimes. You would think that that would be the last place you would find a genuine and holy mass. But I remember the first time I went there, and you set up, you know, and you have these inmates sitting before you. That first time, it was Christ the King Sunday. In the gospel passage that we read, it was the story of the good thief who was on the left hand of Christ. And it wasn't, you know, lost on these inmates that we were talking about the good thief, a man who was convicted of a crime and executed for it. And yet the man's prayer to Jesus wasn't, Lord, give me strength that I may endure this suffering on the cross. Or Lord, make it so that I can be lifted from this cross, taken out of my suffering. Instead, his prayer was simply, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And whether the prisoners recognized what they were doing or not, after communion was done, after they received the body and blood of Christ, they started singing that old hymn, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I realized why that Mass was so genuine. Because these men, day in and day out, are reminded of their sins. That day in and day out, they're presented with what they've done wrong, the faults that they have, the weaknesses that are in them. And they are sorry for it. And when they come to Mass, they realize they are not worthy of what is being presented to them. They are not worthy of the help that God offers them. They are not worthy of the peace that God promises us. And yet, because they can admit their faults and know their weaknesses, they know that God will offer that to them. When they're in that Mass and they say those prayers and they receive Jesus Christ, they know that it's real. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. That is a guarantee. And it's something that every one of us needs in our life. We need God's help. If only we would admit it. So let us, like those prisoners, let us, like the rest of humanity, recognize that in needing God's help, He will always be there for us. That those prisoners, even though they were incarcerated because they trusted in God, they were free. May we be the same.